Oh, you believe that look after or take care of yourself. That upon yourself, that is what people understood it to mean, that they should only be concerned about themselves. They shouldn't be concerned about the people around them, because the ayat is saying, Alaykum anfusakum, it is necessary to take care of yourselves. La yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. That person who is misguided, he cannot harm you if you are on guidance. So if you are on guidance, then the person who is misguided, he can't cause any harm to you. Actually, this ayat brings about a lot of consolence. It consoles a person. It brings about a type of security within a person. That so long as I am on guidance, so long as I am on al-haq, لَا يَدُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Those people that are on misguidance, they will never ever be able to harm me. Allah Pak is saying in this ayat that you be concerned about your amal, you worry about yourself. The real meaning, ulama explain with this, is that one of the meanings that they explain is that a person should not forget himself. He should not forget himself, meaning those actions that he's supposed to be doing, those amal he's supposed to be doing, that level of istiqamat, that level of consistency he's supposed to be having on his amal, his tilawat of Quran, his tahajjud, for example, his nafil salat, his faraz salat, his charity, his zikr, all this level of consistency he's supposed to have, he's supposed to maintain it. Alaykum anfusakum, he should be hard on himself. So anyway, the next part of the ayat is that don't worry about this criticism. Don't worry about the criticism, the criticizers, the harms, the people that try to cause you harms. So long as you are on haq, you are on the right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. So anyway, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu explains to people, سَمِعَتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأُوا الظَّالِمْ فَلَمْ يَأْخُذُوا عَلَى يَدَيْهِ أَوْشَكَ أَيَّ عُمَّهُمُ اللَّهُ بِعِقَابٍ مِّنْهُ. That he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, saying, a person or people, when they see a oppressor, and they do not stop him from his oppression, then soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will involve all of them in a punishment from him side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will engulf everyone into a punishment, because the people are seeing people oppressing, people not doing the correct things. They are harming people, or they are seeing one particular person harming and oppressing, but they got the ability to stop it, and they are doing nothing about it. So because of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish everyone. So in other words, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is saying, tell him, they don't misunderstand the meaning of this ayat, that you're only concerned about yourself. There are people that are committing zulam, there are people that are doing wrong. It doesn't concern you, you don't bat an eyelid as far as the evil is taking place. So this is how this falls under the chapter. Today we start a new chapter, Babu Taghlizi Uqubati Man Amara Bima'rufin O Nahiya An Munkarin Wa Khalafa Qawlahu Fi'alahu. أولها عن منكرين وخالف قوله فعله. It is a chapter where of severe punishment for the person who commands good and he forbids evil, but he himself goes against what he is saying, meaning deliberately he does the wrong thing. Ulama explain, why is this a situation? Why is it such that a person who is commanding good, he is forbidding evil, but himself he is not practicing? Why is it such a serious crime? The explanation given is, when a person doesn't know something and he does a guna, so this in itself is wrong. It's not right for him to commit that guna, so he gets a sin for it. But a person who's commanding good, a person is encouraging others to do the right thing, and then he's doing wrong, means he has ilm, he has knowledge of what he's doing is wrong. Because the mere fact is he's telling other people not to do it, he knows that something is wrong. So after having ilm and then doing it, the sin now becomes compounded. So the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عن أبي زيد أسامة بن حارثة رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يؤتي بالرجل يوم القيامة فيلقى في النار فتندلك أفتاب بطنه فيدور بها كما يدور الحمار في الرحى. حضرت زيد بن أسامة رضي الله تعالى عنه, حضرت أسامة بن زيد رضي الله تعالى عنه, he says that, actually Usama bin Haditha radiallahu anhu says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that a person will come on a day of Qiyamah and his intestines will be flung out. Intestines of his will be flung out in the fire of Jahannam, and this person will be walking around with it like that. His intestines are out and he's walking around like how a donkey would walk around a mill. In the old days, to grind the wheat, they would tie a rope to the neck of the donkey and they'll cause the donkey to just walk round and round and round, and by that moving, the round movement of the donkey, it will cause the wheat to get crushed. So like that they would crush the wheat. So here Rasulullah is using his example and he's saying that a person will, his intestines will be caused to be flung out and he'll be walking around with it in that condition. Like how does donkey goes around that wheat? It continuously goes around and round that mull, crushing that wheat. Like this, this person will go. وَيَجْتَمِعُ إِلَيْهِ أَهْلُ النَّارِ. And the people of the fire now will gather around this person. This is something of a new, something unseen before. He's out and he's going around like this. So they'll gather around him. فَيَقُولُونَ يَا فُلَانْ مَا لَكَ أَلَمْ تَكُ تَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَيَقُولُ بَلَا كُنْتُ أَمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِيهِ. He would say that the people will come around him and will say, but you know, you're such a person, you would command us to do good, you would forbid evil, you're that type of person. How come you ended up in this situation where you are like this now? What happened to you? So he said, no, that I would command good and I would forbid evil, but I would do the same evil. I would do the same evil. أَمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِيهِ. I would command good, but I wouldn't do that good. وَأَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِيهِ. I would forbid evil, but I would go and do the same evil. So because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing me in this condition. This shows us how severe this is, where a person is commanding good, the person is fully aware of what he's doing, but yet he sacrifices and compromises. You find the ulama of the past, they were very, very meticulous about this. They wouldn't compromise for anything. He was a great alim by the name of Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah Ali. He had written a kitab that the ulama study in the madrasas up till now. Nurul Anwar, the kitab is a very detailed, comprehensive, and very, very complicated kitab. So it shows the level of ilm that he had. So anyway, he was very, very firm. In his time, the king had one advisor, like an alim, that was there. And that advisor told him that for you to wear silk is permissible, because you are a king. And the justification he gave for that was, you need to be ready for jihad all the time, because any time people can be attacked, can attack, and in jihad you are allowed to wear silk. We discussed this before, one type of silk you are allowed to wear in jihad. So he used that excuse and told the king, so you are allowed to wear silk. So Mullah Jeevan, being an alim of that time, he went onto the minbar and he declared kufr against the king and his advisor. So this was a very serious thing, and the message went that this alim, this famous popular alim, has declared kufr against you and your advisor. So immediately the king took offense and he was sending now his men to go and apprehend this alim, to catch him. So when the news came to the alim, this Mullah Jeevan Rahmatullah Ali, that the king's men are coming for you, they've already been sent for you. So immediately he says these two words, Mere Lota or Mere Musalla Lao. Bring my Musalla and bring my Lota. Lota they use in India for making wuzu, istinja, etc. So they use that lota. You see, bring my lota and make wudu and I'll read namaz. Now the son of the king happened to be there. He got the news that this is what the Mullah Jeevan is saying. He asked for his musalla and he asked for his lota. So immediately his son knew how dangerous and how serious this was. So he ran up to his father and he begged his father. He said to his father that he has asked for his musalla and he has asked for his lota. In other words, he's seeking divine help. So beware of him. So immediately, the king even of that time, they also had some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately he stopped everything. The point I'm making is that the ulama of the past, they were not afraid to speak out. If something is not right, it's not right. They wouldn't fear the people, they wouldn't fear the position. If they needed to speak out and they knew there was some good in it, they would speak out. And even they had the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly behind him. So to such an extent that the leaders also, who were oppressive, they also knew the power that these people had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Today is Friday. We should try and increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.